Take your Bibles now if it's possible for you to do so, and if not, you listen carefully. You may be driving down the highway. Whatever you're doing, we hope that you'll be able to listen to the broadcast as we continue with our message today. Our subject today is the faith of God's elect. Our text is found again, 2 Samuel chapter 9, beginning at verse 5 down through verse 13. Listen to the word of God if it's possible. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Our subject again today, the faith of God's elect. As we study this part portion of the Word of God, we're going to look again at the faith of Mephibosheth, and it's the same kind of faith that the Lord God of heaven gives to all those whom he has elected to be saved. Now hold your seat and don't get angry with me. God has an elect people, and I'll tell you right now, he knows where they are. He knows who they are. He knows when they're going to get converted, and how they're going to get converted, and they're going to get converted through God's method, because God has only one method of salvation. There's not a dozen different ones, as you would think so today. God has one method of salvation, and I'll tell you right now, that method of salvation is set forth from Genesis to Revelation. So I want to ask you a question today. Do you know the Lord at this hour? You say, yes, I do, all right? Then I want you to listen carefully, if you will. In our lesson today, we shall again view Mephibosheth and see in him the faith of God's elect. We ask you to follow closely. And remember, I want to say to you this very kindly, if you're not able to go along with us as we examine these truths, something is wrong with your experience for Christ. It is not the Word of God that is wrong, because it's infallible, inspired, and I'll tell you right now, there's no error in it whatever. It's not the Word of God that's wrong, but rather yourself. And I want to say to you very kindly, your experience with salvation has got to correspond with that which is found in the Word of God, or else your experience is wrong. God's word is never wrong, and always remember that, if you will. Now let's look at our text for a moment again, and examine the man, Mephibosheth. In verse 6 of 2 Samuel chapter 9, we read, Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. Now look at verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Here we have, in picture form, the great doctrine of justification by faith, as well as sanctification, because sanctification always follows justification. In verse 6, Mephibosheth was seen, fearful, apprehensive, ignorant, and expecting the worst. While in verse 13, we see him redeemed, adopted, and enjoying the benefits of the king, and fellowshipping with the king, all of which had been freely bestowed upon him. All this came about because of grace, and what a picture this is of salvation by grace. Do you know what I'm talking about at this hour? Oh, my friend, I hope and pray that you do. However, it is our purpose to examine further the faith of God's elect as portrayed by Mephibosheth. Let me say at the outset that if you have the faith of God's elect, you will be able to go down the line with us. If you cannot, it is because you do not have the faith of God's elect, and therefore your faith is not a true faith, whatever. I know this is a strong statement, but I want you to follow along with me, and you listen like you've never listened before. Take your Bible now and look with me again at verse 7 of 2 Samuel chapter 9. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore to thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Here we see that the faith of Mephibosheth was a revealed faith, and it was a personal faith. It was revealed to this son of Saul that David the king had no animosity against him, but instead there was love, forgiveness, and adoption. And are you listening? That's what takes place when God saves a sinner. You see, we stand before the Lord God of heaven, condemned, hopeless, and helpless. And then our Lord speaks to us and showed us very clearly, we are to fear not. Just as David said to Mephibosheth, fear not. We find Mephibosheth learned, as we learn from the Lord God of heaven, Mephibosheth learned from David that David loved him personally, forgave him absolutely, and adopted him unconditionally. This is exactly what takes place when God saves a sinner at this hour. Now let me stop right here. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you been there? Has the Lord God of heaven loved you personally, and do you know that? Has He forgiven you absolutely, and has He adopted you unconditionally? Oh, my friend, today, this is what the vast majority of our professions of faith are missing at this hour. David showed Mephibosheth that not only did he love him personally and adopt him unconditionally, but this is also what our Lord shows us when our Lord reaches down and saves us. It's not enough to quote John 3:16 to an individual. Tell him to believe that, and then he is saved. This is Satan's counterfeit salvation, and it's not, my friend, of the Lord God of heaven, even though some of the scriptures are used. In the salvation of the Lord, and there is none other, the individual learns from the Lord through His Word, that as God speaks to him, that Jehovah God loves him personally, has forgiven him absolutely, and has adopted him unconditionally. When Mephibosheth had this dawn on his heart, the cry from his heart was, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Next we see this reality came to Mephibosheth individually, but also directly and personally from the Lord Himself. In like manner, when my Lord saves us today, saves a sinner today, the revelation of what the Lord has bestowed upon him comes directly from the Lord Himself. Now how, preacher? The same way it came to Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth had the word of David given to him by David. Well, today we have the word of God given to us by the Holy Spirit Himself. This comes to our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God as He takes the things of Christ from the Word and reveals them to us. Christ has revealed us out of the volume of the book, it is written of me, which book is none other than the Word of God. Now you listen. God and the Holy Spirit never leads a sinner wrong, never leads an individual wrong. And I'll tell you right now, this is what took place with regard to David. David reached down and delivered Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth knew it. And I'll tell you right now, the same thing takes place when God sets out to save a sinner. Multitudes today claim to have been saved, but they know absolutely nothing concerning the revelation of Christ to their hearts. Mephibosheth had David revealed to him that he, Mephibosheth, listen now, was an object of particular interest, love, and grace to David, and he never got over it. In like manner, the same is true with the individual today when the Lord saves that person. It is a revelation, and it takes place between the Lord and the sinner, just as the revelation took place between David and Mephibosheth. This is what the meaning of the term in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3 brings out, where it says, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now let me stop right here. Is this how you were saved, my friend? Is this the way we've been describing? Or did some so-called personal worker lead you on a profession and then tell you that you were saved? My friend, salvation is a revelation of Christ to the heart by God the Holy Spirit through the Word. And there is no other way. The faith of God's elect is not only a revealed faith, but it is also a tested faith. As one listens to the many voices of religion today, one is struck with a transcendent or predominant theme issuing forth from these many voices. The theme is that when you supposedly accept Christ, all your problems and trials will be over, because now is all joy and peace, and there's always a sense of presence of the Lord with you or in you. My friend, this sets forth a wrong conception, because our Lord does not call us to a life of peace and tranquility, but instead to a life of combat. An individual, when they get saved, we become soldiers, warriors, wrestlers, and athletes. And we are in a constant struggle after the Lord God of heaven saves us. Now, you get this truth, if you will. If you're not having a struggle living for Christ in these days, it's because you're not living for Him. Mephibosheth is an example of what we set forth about having a struggle when living for Christ. Let me show it to you, if I may. And I invite you to turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verses 1 through 4, where we read, "And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, What meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, The asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine, and such as be faint in the wilderness may they be drink. And the king said, And where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, Today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Then said the king unto Ziba, Behold, thine are all that pertaineth unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I might find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king. Now here you have the testing of the faith of Mephibosheth, and in like manner, the faith of God's elect will be tested. We see here that Ziba had stolen the goods of Mephibosheth, Ziba had betrayed Mephibosheth, and on top of it had slandered Mephibosheth before King David. Mephibosheth had no recourse but to bow what was happening unto him. It was not until sometime later, I should say, that Mephibosheth was vindicated before David. This is a picture of the trials and tribulations and testings every true believer will endure. If you live for Christ, you will be lied against. You will be slandered. You will be betrayed. And more than once, your goods will be stolen from you. At the same time, you will have no recourse but to cry unto the Lord for deliverance. And even that cry will not be answered immediately. The reason given for these things to happen is found in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 7 and 8, where it says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom, though you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Mephibosheth is a classic example of what happens, and we see very clearly our faith, the faith of God's elect, has been given to us by the Lord, and I'll tell you right now, it's going to be a tested faith. It's going to be a tried faith. But it's also going to be an irresistible faith. And I'll tell you right now, we can't be turned back. We can't turn back. May the Lord stir your heart, is my prayer. Until we meet again, this is Pastor North here of the Mercies of God of Grand Rapids saying goodbye, and oh, may the Lord spare you, is my prayer.
Thank you for listening to the Mercies of God radio broadcast with the late Dr. Peter Nortier. For more about Mercies of God, go to our website, merciesofgod.org. That's merciesofgod.org. If this program is a blessing to you, send your tax-deductible contributions to the Mercies of God Association, or MOGA, M-O-G-A, 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49505. Once again, the Mercies of God Association, or MOGA, M-O-G-A, 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49505. Or go to the website, merciesofgod.org. That's merciesofgod.org. Join us again next time for the Mercies of God radio broadcast with the late Dr. Peter Nortier.